Just give me that one and that one. And do you sell a classic zombie takeout one?
I don't think so.
Wait, wait. See there? Right there. Hello and welcome to episode 457 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
And without any further ado, that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 2015, Killer Piñata. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Cultural Appropriation. Maybe it can actually have consequences.
And also brought to you by Dulcelandia, a very real Mexican candy store with many locations here in Chicago.
This is going to be an interesting one because you're very familiar with the area.
It was very strange seeing. I mean, probably not since Chasing Amy, but it was. If you think about it, this is also about a mile south of where they filmed High Fidelity.
Oh, okay.
Because if you remember, the first scene of High Fidelity begins with like the street sign. The opening shot is a street sign of Milwaukee Avenue and Diversey, and this is just down Milwaukee Avenue, like half a mile probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Summary?
Oh yes, the summary. How could we? We never even discussed before this, but I think I think there's a scene we really should not spoil for the listeners.
Okay, well, I'm not sure which one, but if we get near it, warn
me. It's a pretty obvious scene.
Okay.
Later in the movie. Something that the piñata does to a gentleman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I actually have a criticism about that scene, but all right.
I don't know if we could do it without spoiling it.
Yeah, I can talk around it.
Yeah, because I think the shock value is.
I didn't need that scene, but that was anyway. Summary.
All right, so we have a adult. We begin with a Dulcelandia, where the worker has been murdered, and there's. Written in blood next to her body is pin me. Or was it pin?
Yeah, I think it was pin.
Pinned.
And, she was spelling out piñata in blood, but she didn't finish it.
Oh. You know, I thought it was like a pin the tail on the donkey thing. But right, she was trying to write piñata in blood to warn the others. All right. Good one. So the store owner takes an awfully long time to figure out that it is the piñata, and of course, why would you? I don't know where it is she goes off to, but it's very much like the episode of The Young Ones where where they leave a formula that turns someone into an axe-wielding homicidal maniac in a Coke bottle. And, to avoid any confusion, they leave it on top of the refrigerator. So, if you find out you have an evil, possessed piñata, the obvious place is to leave it behind the counter in the store. With the sign on it that says, do not sell. Misspelled, of course, which is kind of funny. But, while she's away... A white dude comes into the store to buy a piñata, and you might ask yourself, does this happen? And I can tell you, this white guy has done that. Not at this Dulcelandia, but at another location. They don't tell you. It's really expensive. The expensive part is to get them filled, and I just went and got it emptied and got some, booze candy in there. But anyway, because there were adults, of course. So he buys, of course, the one thing that he shouldn't buy, the evil piñata, and two others too. They of course have it for their kid's birthday party, it's not actually cultural appropriation because his spouse is Mexican, and so the son is half Mexican.
I didn't think of a sponsor until about 10 minutes before we were set to start recording, and it was the first thing that came to mind.
I just realized that now. Like, they're... And so they have this very traumatic scene of the piñata having his love taken from him. Well, I don't know if it was his love, but it was just a fellow piñata. It just, the music made it sound like, you know, it was a love being torn from him. And
the music was very dramatic. One of my potential titles was Dramatic Paper Mache Donkey, in reference to Dramatic Chipmunk, if you remember that meme from 20 years ago.
Oh, right. I missed that one. But he gets savagely beaten, of course, by the kid, as any piñata would. But with that music and the close-ups on the face, it's as if, you know, he's senselessly murdered in front of his compatriot. And, well, of course, he plots his revenge. But it's tough because he's hung up with his fellow piñata in the shed in the back. Nice backyard for Chicago, by the way. So of course the parents are going away on vacation to leave the college girl home alone, which means we are treated to, for the second week in a row,
the house party.
This one seems even more awkward than the one we did last week somehow.
Well, because this one at least was awkward in the plot, where it was supposed to be just these two girls and two guys hooking up, and one of the girls was forced to bring her cousin with her.
Yeah, her cousin comes with her, and
one of the girls was on the verge of coming out.
Yes. So yes, it's really plot heavy for the type of movie that that we're in for, you know. Well, let's see. So they leave their cousin home alone, and of course he's the first to buy it. They come back. They don't see. They think he may have just left. So they do pair off. It's awkwardly bad, of course. Well, for one half,
it goes very well for one couple until it goes very badly.
Right.
And the other two are exes who, well, one is about to come out, and she's about to come out, and he's just a complete clueless idiot.
Yeah.
So that gets awkward.
And so, of course, that's all interrupted by the piñata and his revenge. I can almost say hilarity ensues at this point, because there's a lot of, you know, they're going to kill him. They're not going to kill him. Right. He's getting away. He's not getting away. So,
if you've seen Thanksgiving, it's a lot of that sort of thing.
Yes. They even mentioned that in the credits, by the way. Did you see the credits?
I did not see. Well, I barely watched the credits this time, but I didn't. They mentioned Thanksgiving?
Yes. The credits include thanks to Peter Jackson, Sam Raimi, John Carpenter, Wes Craven, and Jordan Downey and his awesome Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice. Okay. Because it is very Thanksgiving. The plot, the whole thing is very Thanksgiving.
Oh, of course. It's taking something we take for granted and saying, wow, you know, this could be pretty cruel if these are sentient, you know?
Anyway, hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. A lot of crazy shit ensues, but, you know, hilarity does ensue.
Now, the shopkeeper, as she's referred to in the credits, has a hook for a hand. Right. Which is an odd choice.
If it wasn't for her, I don't know if I would have made it to when this got batshit crazy.
I don't know if this ever got batshit crazy, but she definitely helped me get there.
Yes.
There is some nice gore in the very beginning. But after that, they use it very sparingly and in very questionable ways.
You get like a whole 50 minutes, pretty much, until like the power goes out.
Yeah.
And that's when things start It starts getting into the more absurd than the straightforward.
But
up until that, you're dealing with a lot of plot.
Yeah. I enjoyed the overdramatic and menacing shots of the pinata. Those were very nicely done, paired
yes,
with this
yes.
intense music. Loved the opening credits. It was just the pinata covered in blood.
I like my pinatas rare.
I got a kick out of Do Not Sell, C-E-L-L, on the pinata.
Yeah.
And I loved that. And that is why I'm bribing you. The white guy trying to buy the pinata. Because, you know, there's a do not sell, C-E-L-L, sign on the killer pinata. And so the idiot clerk is saying, you know, I can't sell it yet. It sells, do not sell. And he said, that is why I'm bribing you. I liked the read. I wasn't crazy about a lot of the cast, but I enjoyed that read. I think... Lindsay Ashcroft, who played Rosetta, the redhead, might be the only decent actor in the movie.
I like her a lot. The father was a good, he didn't have enough to do, little he had,
right,
he made do with.
Yeah. Another weird choice.
There's scene like later where, you know, she's lying on the, she's dead, and he's just kind of like, the wife is like, come on.
Yeah.
it was pretty funny business.
Basically, to explain that, they get home after this vacation to the aftermath of the killings, and they're giving their daughter this talking down, this dressing down, as if she had just had a party, when in fact there are dead bodies in the room.
Yes.
Another odd choice, when they're setting up for the party, a homeless guy tries to crash.
Right. Yeah, that was totally unnecessary, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole part could go. There's, you know, if it is about 20 to 30 minutes too long, this movie, and that would be a part that there was no sense to having the homeless guy.
Nah. Because later he just kind of gets killed randomly. He's the first victim.
Easily, you know.
But also, when, because the first time we see that part, I keep saying party store, but it's a candy store clerk. He's an idiot. The owner comes back and has a scene with him. He seems a lot smarter when he's talking to her.
Does he?
At least he was able to carry on a conversation.
True.
I was a little shocked when the father flat out called his son a mistake.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Because
he wasn't planned.
That was weird, right?
I'm 8 years younger than the next oldest of my siblings, the youngest of six. I was clearly unintended, but I've never been called a mistake.
I mean, hey, I'm the youngest as well by five.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I did think the full, back to the movie, the Full House references were a bit odd. The two guys who end up at the party are coming to the candy store. And I think it was another store.
They went to like the liquor store.
That's right. Yeah. And they referred to Uncle Jesse and Uncle Joey. Basically, Uncle Joey, Jesse gets it, gets some. Joey doesn't.
Stamos. What's his name? Stamos. But which one was Joey? Was
Dave
Joey
Coulier.
Saget or is Coulier?
Coulier.
Okay.
I'm outing myself as someone who has seen a decent amount of Full House.
I mean, I'm sure I watched it, you know, like 30 something years ago, but you know,
there was a period in the early thousands where I actually enjoyed watching it in syndication. But anyway, that seemed an odd just Full House was an odd reference.
It's a show where just like it begins with, well, all the wives or girlfriends are dead.
fair point.
That was always weird. It's like, okay, what can we do to get these guys single?
Right.
So they can all be together, kind of.
Also, back to the movie, the dubbing is hilarious. like 90% of the movie is ADR.
Yeah, I don't know if I noticed all that much of it.
And the dubbing is just a little bit off from the lip sync. You didn't notice it? It's interesting because every, like in the house, they didn't really dub anything external. Any external shots were ADR for obvious reasons. They're filming in Chicago outside, probably guerrilla style. So it all had to be ADR'd, and the dub was just slightly off the lips.
The train probably runs right by.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense that they would need to ADR it, but
it's underground, but it's still fucking loud.
The point when I knew I was in, kind of, because I was never really that into the movie, but, you know, spoilers. But the part that first piqued my interest, when the shopkeeper attacks all of the piñatas at the park.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because I wasn't entirely in, because there was so much plot. Mm-hmm. And then, she goes off on this crazy assault on a birthday party.
Yeah.
Birthday party piñatas, of course.
And then after the birthday party at the house, the two piñatas that the kid didn't choose are hung up. One is Captain America, or like a generic Captain America type character. Of course. And the killer.
Dolcelandia doesn't have copyrights.
And we see the piñata chewing through the cord that's holding him up.
I love how they made it pretty much like a Saw movie. Like, if these piñatas were people, it was like, oh my god, what are they going to do to us?
And just the piñata puppetry, I did appreciate.
Yeah.
They puppet the piñata very nicely. But yeah, the deaths were kind of lackluster. Like, the first death is the homeless guy who was poisoned by candy. There's no gore.
It's just kind of like a, okay, so I guess he's not coming back kind of thing. I mean, it was just kind of a, there was no investment in it, you know.
Martin, the cousin, his death is a bit more entertaining, but they cut away way too soon.
Yeah, and he's just an awful character, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know about the acting, but the character itself, I thought was just like.
He's fine. Waldo.
Yeah.
You know, he's a generic Waldo. I did appreciate the Donkey Show joke.
That comes back, but also, like, before they killed Marty, I love this, like, they happen to just so happen to have a collection of garden shears that nobody would have in their house. It's like being in an old-timey comedy and they're like, hey, here's banana peel storage.
Yeah, just fair this point.
Barrel full of giant garden shears. Right. Like, what, does each person have a set of garden shears to go and do the yard work with at the same time?
Right. Speaking of the guerrilla filmmaking, this was shot in 8 days in and around Logan Square, a neighborhood in Northwest Chicago.
About 3 miles from my house, or maybe, maybe 2 miles from where I live right now.
Oh, wow. So very close. Yeah,
so, and of course, I'd spent a lot of time down in that area, the working and stuff.
It's entirely possible that if you really take a fine-tooth comb to this movie, you might be in it.
Oh my god, I hadn't even thought of that.
I didn't notice you.
Sometimes you do see, like, weird little parties or something on the boulevard like that, where they were on the green area. By Logan Square Boulevard.
There were a lot of people in the background who were probably just local residents going about their business. So, you know, you might be in like the distant, you know, background in some shot. I liked the pinata cam. They did a whole, you know, evil dead thing.
Beautiful.
That was nice. Overall, it just needed a higher gore budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, there are so many things where I was like, if, you know, he turned Chad into a pinata, I'd be like, this is five brains.
I enjoyed Zombie Chad, but.
Yes. No. Trying to wave and stuff. Trying to nod.
Yeah. Right before that, though, Chad's actual death scene I did not enjoy. because it was just buckets and buckets of vomit.
Couldn't even watch that. I don't even really understand what the hell was happening there. So he poisoned Chad, and then Rosetta starts vomiting, and then he possesses Chad. I didn't get any of that.
I just looked away until Carmina Burana stopped.
And it was right. It was like this weird white vomit that they were like, I don't know what any of that was.
That turned blue later. I did enjoy the pinata threesome though. Because the pinata interrupts Chad and Rosetta in the act. And right. She's like, what are you doing? That feels amazing. And then he's like, what are you doing? That feels amazing. And they realize neither of them are doing anything other than the main event. She realizes he couldn't be in two places at once. So they jump away from the bed and there's the pinata's ears.
So... years.
You just connected that, or
I wasn't sure exactly what the pinata was doing, how he was doing. They
jump off of the bed after realizing, and she says, "You can't be in two places at once." They jump off the bed, and you see a shot of the pinata's head from just the top of the pinata's head from behind, showcasing its ears.
And then what after the murder? What was the business where the pinata was kind of prodding Rosetta?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, I thought that was leading up to something else. Or they were going to find her posed in a certain way or something like that.
I don't know. I was just too busy looking at the actress. Very much my type. But I did enjoy La Pinata's animated backstory.
Right, I was like, this is just like Lamageddon.
Mm-hmm. Pinata worker who was bullied by his co-workers and killed by being thrown into the some sort of, you know, threshing machine that used to make the pinatas. His blood got onto one of the pinatas in particular, and it became, you know, possessed by his vengeful spirit. I did like that little brief aside about Martin's assumed death. Like, he's probably dead.
Yeah. Because, yeah, most of the time you have them like, oh my god, he's dead too? And it's like, this one, they're like, of course.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
Why wouldn't he? This definitely would have gotten even a higher rating if Scott had just, you know, you know, after being like dumped,
asshole ex-boyfriend Scott.
After, you know, it being clear what was going on, and seeing the shit that was going on with the pinata, just if he had just said, well, good luck with this.
Yeah. Peace out, yeah.
That would have been the best.
It would have been an easy 5 brains for me if the entire movie was as beautifully self-aware as the weapons-making montage.
Oh my god. That is one of my favorite scenes of any movie that we've done this year, I think.
It lost a half a brain for the vomit scene, gained the half brain back for the weapons making scene.
There was a lot of back and forth with lost a brain for this, gained a brain for this. Yeah. So yeah, this is a really hard one.
And then it lost. Then it lost it again for the scene you don't want to spoil. but
because. Well, yeah, the montage scene, though. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just so absurd. Where it's make weapons. And you think, of course, they're going to have, like, pointed sticks or something.
They make a compound bow and a baseball bat.
They made a gun!
Did they have a gun?
Yeah, they made a fucking gun.
Okay.
And then they don't use the gun. She decides she's never fired a gun. You know, maybe I might hit you by mistake, and puts the gun down.
Okay.
And this lost half a brain because the obvious thing, of course, was to have a gun-wielding pinata. We got cheated of a gun-wielding pinata.
There was some good gore at the end, some really good puppetry. But they end on this point of like, oh, the daughter learned her lesson. The father bought the fucking thing.
Well, they're more upset about the party than the murder. This whole thing has like this weird tone at the very end. The whole climax, which, I mean, I know it's a scene we don't want to spoil, and it seems like it's out of left field, but I then realized that entire plot that they put us through in the beginning was to set that up.
The donkey show joke?
Yes. The donkey show joke, his, fixation on getting laid, you know, that whole mess was that whole boring plot that they put us through was to set that up, because it wouldn't have made any sense without it.
Right,
even though a scene like that, I mean, making sense out of a scene like that is, yeah.
Well, and they go to great pains to establish that all three of the four of them, was not counting Martin, of course, but three of the four of the two couples are virgins.
Yeah.
Rosetta's the only exception.
Yeah,
obviously, the daughter, I can't think of her name. Was
her name? I don't know like what they were calling her.
Yeah, I don't remember her name at all. I can name the other three, Chad, Scott, and Rosetta. I don't think they ever gave her name. But she's gay. She was about to come out. She kind of did come out to Scott. Chad is a virgin. Scott's a virgin. And Rosetta, of course, dies first.
Yeah.
So, on to Brent.
Is that Lindsay?
Lindsay Ashcroft.
Eliza Jane Morris.
Lindsay Ashcroft is Rosa.
Lindsay Goodman.
What?
I think her name was Lindsay, her character. I think.
Which character?
The main character.
Oh, I don't know her. I don't know. Lindsay Ashcroft played.
Was the actress. To play Rosetta.
Yeah, it was Rosetta. That's the other thing I was wondering, because I noticed that a lot of the actors had, or a couple of them, had like local theater credits. Have you seen any of them in, because you're, you know, a bit of a theater buff?
I might have. It's tough to say, though. Okay. It's been a while. I miss the theater.
Well, but this was 2015, so, you know.
I'm kind of surprised that I didn't know any of these people from my work with the theater or with the... certain discount in, I can say it now, I fucking worked for Groupon for 8 years. But there were a lot of actors that worked there with me at the same job, and I'm kind of surprised that none of them were in this.
On to brains. I was about a 3, and then that vomit scene happened, and then the montage happened, but then that donkey show scene happened, so I'm giving it 2.
I was so back and forth on this, but between the donkey show scene and the weapons montage, the denouement is just so weird, where they're like downplaying the killing and just like she's in trouble more for the party than the bodies. And at the end they did, of course, an I smell sequel thing.
No word on a sequel, thankfully.
I thought there was actually going to be one.
I've checked. I didn't see anything about it.
But you knew there would be a sequel because they never performed the ritual that was instructed. Yeah.
Definitely set it up.
They definitely weren't. So I'm going 4.
All right. And what have we learned?
We learned not to eat shit off the floor.
And I learned that I've been spelling so wrong. That's it for Killer Pinata. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Conan the Barbarian. This is another one like the alien one with Patrick Stewart, Life Force. Another one like Life Force, where I'm sure we've already reviewed it, but we haven't.
Nah, I would have remembered doing this one.
Okay, I feel like we've reviewed this one, but we haven't. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.